Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin, the auto editor here at How Stuff Works, and I'm here, as always, with Ben. How are you doing today, Ben?
I'm doing super well, Scott. How are you doing?
Also super well. Super well. That's a good one.
I just pulled it out, but I don't know. I think it works. How do you feel about it?
I feel okay.
Great intro, by the way.
Oh, I appreciate it. I'm trying them out, and I think it's going smooth so far.
Knocking them out of the park, yeah. My friend.
Anyways, I'm not smooth at the transitions like you are, so I'm just going to say we're going to talk about some transmissions today.
Transmissions?
Yeah,
okay,
transmissions.
So that's perfect. Let's get into, because we've done some speculative podcasts, but let's get into some nuts and bolts. First, I guess, for everyone out there who happens not to know, what is a transmission and what does it do?
You know what? Sorry, Ben. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to back up for just 1 second, okay?
All right.
Excellent question.
Okay.
I'm going to back up and say that this is a listener request. I neglected that. I just peeled off a post-it note, and I saw my notes here that say that it is a listener request, and I feel we need to tell them that.
Yeah.
It was actually from two listeners, and these are going way back, so as sometimes happens. Someone named Zach and also someone named Rohan wrote in, said that they would like to hear some information about CVTs in particular.
Continuously variable transmission.
See, you know what I'm going for there.
Okay.
Continuously variable transmissions. And actually, they had questions about a lot of different transmissions. We're going to focus on CVTs in particular in this episode.
Okay.
So Zach and Rohan, this one's for you and also for everybody else.
Thanks for writing in, guys. We love listener mail.
Oh, by the way, Rohan's from India.
India?
Yeah, Mumbai, India.
That is awesome.
Yeah, pretty cool. We have listeners all the way out in India.
Yes, and we think all of them are fantastic.
Oh, of course.
Wherever you're from. I guess everybody listening to this is from the internet.
I guess it's just pretty amazing to me to understand that what we do here, you know, what we're recording, is truly going around the world and everybody's really paying attention.
Well, everybody loves cars, man. Okay,
most that's
people
interesting.
Love,
okay, let's,
love vehicles. Yeah,
enough patting ourselves on the back. That's that was pretty cool, though, I thought. So, anyways, we can get right into it, and we'll talk about CVTs if you'd like.
I'd love to. Yes, okay, break it down for me.
Well, you had a question for me, right?
I did. Just to establish some parameters, what are transmissions, and what do they do in a car?
Simple enough. All transmission, every vehicle has one, really. Almost every vehicle has one. All they do, really, is just they change the speed, the ratio coming from the engine speed to the wheels. Probably just goofed that up, but close enough. What it does is it makes the power coming from the engine usable at the wheels, because if you didn't have any gearing in between, it's a gearbox, really. And if you didn't have any gearing in between, you would have basically one gear between the engine and the wheels, and it would be whatever speed the engine is going.
So does this modify torque?
It does. It does. You're right. So it's a twisting force that is then, you know, converted. Well, it's remains twisting force all the way to the wheels, actually. But it is modified into usable ratios that can be helpful for accelerating, climbing hills, going downhills, just top speed, any driving situation, really, because you need all these different ratios in order to do that effectively.
Now you know where I'm going with this.
I think you do, yeah.
That's a basic transmission.
That is a basic transmission, yeah.
What makes a CVT different?
CVT, and it's really popular right now. We'll talk about that in a minute, too. But a CVT is a continuously variable transmission. And what's unique about a CVT is that it doesn't have any stepped gears, any specific hard set of gears where this is always going to be the ratio when you're in this gear.
Okay.
Continuously variable transmission, just as the name suggests, it's continuously variable. It has an infinite number of ratios, and we'll describe how that's possible in a minute, but an infinite number of ratios that are accessible at any point, really. I mean, it's able to adjust to your driving pattern or, I guess I should say more to the to what you're asking it to do.
Driving conditions.
That's a better way to say that.
How exactly does that work? That seems very difficult.
Well, there are three different types. There are three different types of CVTs.
Okay.
And we're going to focus on the most common type, which is the pulley type. The pulley type is the kind that you'll find in automobiles right now.
Okay.
There are several other different types. There is a, I'm going to mess up the name of this helmet. I have a hard time saying this word, Ben.
All right.
Toroidal, which is T-O-R-O-I-D-A-L. Toroidal.
Toroidal. Okay.
CVT, which has no pulleys. It uses discs and power rollers. And it's really, I mean, you're going to have to look these up just to see what they look like.
Uh-huh.
We've got an article about CVTs on our site, so check it out. You can find a good graphic of these there. And there's also a hydrostatic CVT, which uses variable displacement pumps or hydrostatic motors. So it uses it converts the rotation of the engine into, flow power. I guess not flow power, but fluid flow. I don't know a better way to say that, but it uses pumps and fluid in order to make the whole system work. And again, check out the site, and you'll understand this. There's no way I can describe it right here, what's going
you
on.
You have to see it.
You do have to see it, yeah. Okay. Anyways, hydrostatic motors, it's a little more complex than that, of course.
But luckily for us, we're on the pulley.
The ones we're talking about are the pulley. Thanks for getting me back. The the pulley system, now, let's see if I can describe this right. There are two, it's real simple. It doesn't have a whole set of gears like a normal automatic transmission would. And we're not even talking about manual here because really a CVT is like an automatic. You don't shift a CVT other than, you know, if there's an option to do that. You know, some of them have these sport shifting sections. We'll talk about that a little later too.
Okay.
But, basically, it's an automatic transmission, and they're really, it's so simple inside. There's a drive pulley and a driven pulley. Now, the drive pulley is connected to the crankshaft, which comes out of the engine, and the driven pulley is the one that transfers that energy to the drive shaft.
Okay.
So the crankshaft is the drive pulley. The one that connects to the drive shaft is the driven pulley, and so that's the output. Between those two, and this is where it gets a little complex here, between those two, for automotive purposes, there's a metal belt. It's a metal belt, which is kind of unique. Now, the belt is fashioned of several bands that run together, maybe a dozen bands, and those are that's held together. All those bands are held together with these looks like metal keys almost. And there's thousands. I'm going to say 1,000, but it's probably more than that. I'm guessing because there are that many of them in this belt. It's a very heavy belt, real heavy duty, and that's what runs between the two pulleys. And we'll describe the pulleys in a second too. But I want to tell you that a lot of CVTs that use this pulley system. They don't have to be in cars, by the way. CVTs have been around for a while. They've been in power tools, drill presses, tractors, snowmobiles, motorcycles, but they've all used rubber belts in between the pulleys. And so now the difference is CVTs in cars, in order to handle all the torque and the power that, you know, and just for durability, they use these steel belts.
No, wait, one second.
Yeah.
Now, I have to ask you to step back for a second. Mm-hmm. How recent or old is this technology? You said it's been around for a while, which kind of surprised me.
It's been around a long time. You want to take a wild guess? Do you know the answer? Are you just messing with me?
Because I'm messing with you a little.
If you know, come right out with it because it's unbelievable when you hear it.
Okay, call shenanigans
on me if
I'm wrong. Leonardo da Vinci? Really?
Really. Really.
Blows my mind.
1490. Is when Leonardo da Vinci, who we've talked about many times on this program, how he's just unbelievably advanced, early thinker. He sketched a stepless, continuously variable transmission in 1490, if you can believe that.
I mean, I am trying my best to believe it.
I mean, I have no idea what it looks like. I haven't seen this the sketch or how it compares to what we actually have now.
So it had to be made of wood or something.
I don't know. Stone. I don't know. I don't know. Probably wood. But I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing vines or something in between the pulleys. Maybe it wasn't a pulley system. Maybe it was some other type of system. I don't know.
So 1490, that would make this hundreds and hundreds of years old.
520 years old at this point, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, ballpark. But I guess when you get down to it, though, it really wasn't built or in production. You know, it's not really serving the purpose that it
just
should.
Just conceived.
Yeah, that's right. It was conceived at that point. You know what? I'm going to go earlier than this. I got a note here that says 1958. There was a car that used a CVT in the Netherlands, but... I'm going to go back even further, Ben.
Let's go back even further.
There's a company called Zenith Motorcycles, and they originated in 1904.
Okay.
And Zenith Motorcycles had a device that they called a Gradua gear. It's like almost like gradual without the L at the end. Gradua gear.
Okay.
And it used a variable pulley system that would vary the length of the drive belt by moving the rear wheel forward and backward in its slot. And this apparently gave Zenith Motorcycles an advantage at the time in this hill climb competition that they were in, or hill climb competitions, gave the riders such an advantage that they were banned from competition. It was that much better than everything else that was out there.
Weird.
Standard shift.
That's weird. It's like you heard about the, I think they're German, there's a swimsuit company whose swimsuits have been banned from professional competitions because the improvement is that noticeable.
Isn't that something? I say, great, you know, move on with technology, but they held them back, I guess. But, you know, it didn't hold them back from producing the motorcycle. They still produced the motorcycle until, I believe, it was 1950.
Okay.
So after World War II, they were still producing motorcycles just for a short time, and then they went out of business. But early on, they were banned from competition because they had this advantage.
And this technology, as you said earlier, is pretty widespread still, right?
Yeah,
it was in power tools, you said?
I'll tell you, it's in power tools. It's in snowmobile. A lot of people know this from snowmobiles. It's from tractors, drill presses, again, motorcycles. I think there's probably other applications of this. We're just not seeing them here. But it's really kind of cool. I mean, I'll just get a super basic description of what it is. It's two pulleys that have cone shapes to the inside edge of those pulleys. And they're of course, positioned right next to each other. The belt runs between them. The belt always remains at the same tension. It never gets slack. It never gets tighter.
Yeah.
And when speeds go up, you know, one of the sets of pulleys expands and the belt rides down further in that groove, and it goes higher up on the groove than the other set of pulleys.
Huh.
So it's this kind of seesaw back and forth motion. So at higher speeds, the pulley, you know, on one set of pulleys, it will be, you know, riding deeper into that groove, that V-shaped groove that the pulley creates. And on the other set of pulleys, then it will always be at the top end. And I don't mean always, but I mean, if it's low on one end, it's high on the other
end.
And then it balances itself out and it just goes back and forth between the two.
So there's something here that kind of presents a question to us, or heavily implies this question.
Mm-hmm.
If this technology has been around for so long, is it the norm?
It is becoming the norm. And that is evident in that there are some manufacturers that now will offer only manual transmission or a CVT. You can't get an automatic transmission in some models.
Okay.
Not that the manufacturer doesn't offer an automatic transmission, but you know that's your option. You either get a manual transmission, a you know, six-speed standard shift, or you get a CVT. Go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna say, with the reference to the manufacturer in the Netherlands, is this technology more common in one car market than the other, like Japan or Europe or anything?
Actually, not. As far as I can tell right now, and I couldn't say for certain whether there are more cars on the road with CVT in Europe or in Japan or wherever. I can tell you though that. I guess I can just start right here at the beginning. In 1989, there was one vehicle sold here in the United States that had a CVT. Just the one. It was a 1989 Subaru Justy GL, and it just never took off. Never really gained any popularity. And I don't know if that had anything to do with the CVT or not.
Okay.
I couldn't say. It's just a...
Could have been any of a number of factors.
Exactly. Now... you've got companies like Nissan and their supplier, Jatco, who makes their CVT. That's their transmission supplier. They, to date, have sold over 1 million CVT-equipped vehicles. So you can see that, you know, they're everywhere. I mean, they're populating all the continents, I guess. It's not just Nissan. It's GM, it's Audi, it's Honda, Nissan, Chrysler. They're all getting into the CVT game. Relatively recently, I mean, in the last few years, but Nissan's really been kind of leading the way with this one. I wouldn't say that they were first, of course, they weren't, but right now they may be the ones doing it the best.
I've got to ask one other thing here that we did not talk about earlier, but what do you think makes this technology advantageous or disadvantageous in comparison to an automatic transmission?
Well, it's got a smoothness to it that automatics do not have, because even in an automatic,
you feel that shift.
Yeah, you still have stepped gears.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. You still feel that. And now to a lot of people, that's not good. They don't want to feel that smoothness mm-hmm. because it feels like something's wrong. If you've driven a car before where, there's slipping clutch or the gears are going
sure.
bad or something, you know that slipping feeling, and that's what you get in a CVT-equipped vehicle. When you step on the gas at a light, you'll hear the engine kind of spool up, the revs mm-hmm. will go up, but the car doesn't really go anywhere. It slowly accelerates. It doesn't match the way that it feels like it should or that we're accustomed to it happening. So what's happening, though, is it's searching for the right ratio in order to take off, mm-hmm. and then it maintains that proper ratio throughout that whole drive cycle. So it feels really odd, and it's extremely smooth, and to some people that just doesn't feel right. Other people, kind of blissfully unaware,
sure.
don't even right. know that they have a CVT and everything is just fine. They don't really care.
What do you see as the future of CVTs?
Oh, you know what? I've been thinking about this one because I knew you were going to ask me this.
Yes, yes.
I think, and honestly, I'm surprised at the way, I just can't believe the technology already that we have. I mean, it's pretty mm-hmm. amazing. It really is when you look at some of the details of these transmissions and what they can do and what they're capable of. They save fuel. They're extremely smooth. They're very simple, really.
Mm-hmm.
Inside, it's not nearly as complex as a standard automatic transmission. What I would say, future developments, I mean, I can only guess, but I mean, I'm saying like further simplification, maybe.
Okay.
Just refinement of what's already there, if it can be further simplified. I don't even know if it can at this point, but never say never. And I'd also say further weight reduction, because weight reduction is so key right now. It's very key. I mean, it's critical when you're talking about downsizing engine sizes and vehicle weights, and this is all part of it. The transmission has to be reduced as well. I mean, every little bit counts. So I'd say further weight reduction is important, and I guess use of new materials. I mean, I can only think that that would help in weight reduction and mm-hmm. not so much simplification, but. New materials might be one way to go.
It's kind of, in these episodes, I've noticed we're reaching toward this some of the same recommendations again and again, and those are better materials,
mm-hmm.
higher efficiency, less weight.
Yeah.
And you know what? Now that we think about it, maybe sometime in the future we could go a little bit deeper into that.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, on a tangent.
No, all three are tied together. The new materials tend to be lighter. Of course, that's weight savings, and weight savings increases efficiency.
Hey, Scott, are we wrapping up on transmission? You feel like it?
I do. I'm sure there's plenty of questions out there, so have at it. Ask me what you'd like. And let's just say, go to the site, our website, howstuffworks.com, and check out the article "How CVTs Work," and that will clear up a lot of questions. Because if you do have questions, there are charts, graphs, advantages, disadvantages, a lot of explanation that we just couldn't go into here. And I urge you to go online, and there's a lot of animations of CVTs in action,
mm-hmm.
and that will clear up a lot of questions you have as well. I mean, I've watched many of these over the years, I guess. And to me, that just being able to see it in action, that really, it makes perfect sense to you once you watch it.
Okay, everybody, you heard it here first, hopefully, about how CVTs work, and as Scott has pointed out, you should definitely check out the information on the website. While you're there, you should probably check out his blog. Scott, I don't want to embarrass you, that story about the Ferrari crash is pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's some disturbing news about a classic Ferrari, so you might want to check that one out.
And there's always something on that blog that is just utterly fascinating. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for a future episode, please do send us an email at highspeedstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com. And be sure to check out the High Speed Stuff blog on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.